I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Continuing in our series of interviews with candidates running in the November 19th municipal election in Vancouver, I'm joined now by Terry Martin. He is a council candidate for Neighbourhoods for a Sustainable Vancouver. As a bit of a reminder, all candidates who appear on the ballot are invited to appear on the program between now and the 19th. If you're running and would like to be on, simply email me at editor@thecommentary.ca or call me at 604-909-8787 and we can set something up. Terry Martin is a former chair of the city's Board of Variants. He's owned several small businesses and has been a renovations contractor for 20 years. He's also worked in the mental health field. The website for more is at nsvancouver.ca. Mr. Martin's Twitter handle is at @TerryMartinNSV. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Terry Martin. Good morning, Mr. Martin.
Good morning, and thank you.
Thanks for joining us. So what compelled you to run?
Several things, but the most pressing issue to me was that we did not have the opportunity to elect a majority of council and mayor other than the two developer-funded parties. And because Cope only ran three. And I think now is a very critical time for the city, and in fact I know it is. We've been on a six-year downward spiral and a spiral of increasing unaffordability in our city. And we're desperate for a change. So when Neighbourhoods for Sustainable Vancouver approached me and asked me if I'd be interested in running as one of their candidates, I jumped at the chance. I saw this as a way to basically fix the bad decision that Cope made to run a coal campaign with Vision Vancouver. Vision and Cope are diametrically opposed when it comes to development issues. In fact, the Cope councillors voted almost 100% of the time against all of the relaxations that developers were given without much in the way of community amenities, as well as the STIR program, which gives developers up to $100,000 in waived fees and taxes for building market condos for rent. We don't need market condos in Vancouver. We have thousands of them empty downtown. What we need is we need affordable housing, and the past two governments haven't been doing this. The biggest issue that's happening in this term to come that nobody is talking about, and it's a very serious issue, is a document that has to be written by council that comes out of the regional growth strategy. It's called the Regional Context Statement. Now, this is basically a zoning document for the entire city. This is a document that covers the next 30 years of development in Vancouver, and it's a document that cannot be changed once it's written, and it has to be done within the next 2 years, and that's the province has enacted that. It cannot be changed without the permission from Metro Vancouver, as well as permission from the TransLink Board, an unelected body. Mm-hmm. And so we're at the crossroads this term. We are going to either have that document written by two developer parties that are funded by developers, and it'll have a developer agenda. We've seen that in the last 6 years, what's going on. Or it's going to be written by a majority of city councilors and mayor who want input and will respect the opinions of the people of Vancouver and all of the neighborhoods and communities. That's what we really want to accomplish. We want Vancouver to make those decisions, not a bunch of developers in the back room.
And do you think the in particular this Vision Council and this mayor, they haven't listened to the people?
Well, if you ask people in Dunbar around Laneway Housing, they'll say no, they haven't. If you ask the people in Shaughnessy about condo developments, they'll say no, they haven't. If you ask the people in South Granville, where there was the Rogers Sugar Baron Mansion being wiped out, they'll say, no, the council hasn't listened. If you ask the people in Mount Pleasant, where they're putting up a building triple the size of anything in the area for a dual diagnosis center, they'll say, no, they haven't listened. If you ask the people in the West End who had a 10,000-signature petition against a STIR program building, which gives developers $100,000 per unit, they'll say, no, council didn't listen. And if you you ask the residents of Norquay, who fought City Hall for 5 years to stop the city from rezoning their entire neighborhood from single-family dwellings to four-story apartments with 8 to 10 story buildings along the main street, the people of Norquay will say, no, they haven't listened to us. In fact, they've done the opposite that all of those neighbors made submissions about. They have done the opposite every single time. They've done it all over our city. And I believe communities are really, really fed up with the way that they're being treated. They're being treated with disdain and disregard. They're being ignored. And I think a lot of people want to change at this point. They want a council that will respect everybody, including developers. Everybody, I feel, should have an equal place at the table. Everybody in the community, the affected parties, should be given to their voice at the table. But, and as well as developers. Developers need to be at the table. We want the city run where everybody at the table, every stakeholder in the city, is treated equally, honestly, respectfully, and with complete transparency. And I haven't seen that happening in at least 6 years, and I would say 9.
And how would you engage the developing community, the development community, I should say? Because what it sounds like to me is that they're the problem when it comes to making the city more affordable.
Well, the problem I see is that the development community isn't the problem. I think it's easy to work with the development community. Richmond has shown that when they require 20% affordable housing and buildings going up, developers aren't running out of town and going somewhere else. They're making money doing it. The development community is there. There are companies that are there to earn a profit, and there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is when the council is in large funded in their election campaigns by the development community, and then they make decisions that appear to be favoring developers. And a great example is in the last council meeting of this term, Walcorp wanted to develop a site at Kingsway and Boundary. The site was zoned for roughly 300 condo units. City Council Vision and Suzanne Anton voted to allow them to build 1,114 units on that site, an increase of over 800 units. Now, the policy is that when you upzone a property, that the developer gives something back. That upzoning gives the developer at least $50 million extra in profit. And so what the city should receive back and what the policy is a certain number of units that are affordable housing. The city could have required at least 150 units of affordable housing, but basically sat there and said, oh, no, it's okay, you can have all those units. We don't need any affordable housing. It's okay. So what I see Vision Vancouver and NPA doing is talking about affordable housing, especially Vision Vancouver talking about it, and then when it comes time to doing it, they waive it.
No, I'm not.
So I think that influence has to be stopped.
Yeah. Now, I'm not inclined to defend COPE and Vision and their sort of alliance.
Well, I'm not defending. The thing is, in that decision, COPE, the two COPE councillors voted against that development.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about Terry, about the sort of the alliance here, and my understanding is that you were a member of COPE. You left the party, is that right?
Yeah. No, I haven't left the party.
You
I'm still a member of COPE.
Okay, but you're running for.
I'm running with Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver. I believe the alliance was a huge mistake by COPE, and I COPE was founded to give voters the choice to elect a party that wasn't funded by developers. That's how and what they were founded for. And so to do a deal with a party that receives huge amounts of developer funds is in itself wrong, in my opinion. I spoke against the deal and I voted against the deal.
Isn't it better, though, than them coming together, COPE and Vision, rather than having the other guys in, the NPA, who are obviously pro and avowed pro-developers, pro-development, I should say?
Well, the others are about pro-development, but I think Vision Vancouver is very pro-development, and I think that they have done everything the NPA would have done. In fact, they completed every single thing the Sam Sullivan government started. So I don't see a difference between the two. And I think COPE, I think a party needs to stand on its principles. the whole reason for the deal wasn't about beating the NPA. The reason for the deal was there was union money that was basically, COPE was told certain unions would not fund their campaign if they didn't do a deal with Vision Vancouver. If that deal didn't happen, COPE would have lost well over $100,000 in campaign contributions and probably closer to $200,000. This wasn't a deal about philosophy. This was a deal about campaign financing and nothing else. And that's what was said in the meeting. That was the arguments many people made that had negotiated the deal and that were for the deal. So this isn't about philosophy. It's strictly about campaign finance.
The story that's making a lot of news today, we're taping this Wednesday, the 9th of November, is Occupy Vancouver. My understanding is you spoke there on the 30th, did you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I haven't been down there, and so... What is the sense that you get down there? I mean, we're hearing from on the Twitter universe and on social media and the news that people want it taken down. They want them sent away. Where are you on Occupy Vancouver and what's going on there at the Art Gallery?
Well, that's a huge subject. Some of my opinions are that many of the people at Occupy Vancouver are there for good reason. They've seen a system worldwide and countrywide and citywide that's failing the public, and they want something done about it. I think that if you've seen in history when social change happens, it doesn't happen by people being polite and asking the government to do something. It comes from demonstrations. It comes from civil disobedience. That's always been the way it is. The civil rights movement in America, even Gandhi, his movement, it was peaceful, but it wasn't legal according to the laws of the day. So I think that the intentions are good, and I think when to cause social change, sometimes that's necessary. As far as the Tent City goes, and the situation down there, I think that the problem has been not the people at Occupy Vancouver. I think the problem has been right from the beginning, Suzanne Anton saying kick them out right now, immediately, they shouldn't be there. And Gregory Robertson basically burying his head in the sand and hoping everything just works out. Nobody actually went down and talked to people, tried to work with them, because they're citizens of our city, and we need to respect all of our citizens and give them a voice, respect their opinions, and work with them, not against them. And that seems to be the attitude of the two major parties is not to negotiate with neighborhoods, not to negotiate with Occupy, not to negotiate with individuals. They're just, it's us and them. And I see a real disconnect from people in the city, and I think the reason for that is the attitude of many of our elected officials is when they get elected, they rule the city. I think they've forgotten the real basic concept that when you're elected, your job is to be a public servant, not the lord of the city. And so there's a real disconnection at this point. The city vision statement, city mission statement is to make Vancouver a great place for people to live and work and play. It doesn't say anything about making it a great place for land speculation or development or anything else. It's supposed to be about people, and I think that has been forgotten by the current council.
Now, the rumor that I'm hearing, and I'm sure you're hearing the same, is that they'll go in Thursday and take this down. Is that the right thing to do?
I think going in full force and taking the whole thing out is the wrong thing to do. I think just like the Falun Gong, they have something to say and should be allowed to be heard. And I think that needs to be accommodated in some way or another. If there's a fire hazard, I'm sure that people there so far have shown that they're willing to cooperate with those kind of issues, safety issues. If there has to be less tents in the area to make pathways and ways for escaping fire or for paramedics to get in quickly and easily, I think that the people down there would be willing to accommodate that. As far as the right to demonstrate is, I believe they have a right to demonstrate under the Canadian Constitution, and the Constitution doesn't say it's only in the daytime. So, you know, these are very, very complicated issues, but I just see the problem as it being an us and them situation rather than trying to work together with people to accomplish their goals and at the same time respect everybody else in the city.
How do you think the election will go on the 19th, Terry?
I think this one's completely up for grabs.
Really?
One of the interesting indicators to me is that in every election, you always see the major parties, the major party that's leading, you always see that party publishing the results of its poll because it's good news.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for the party. We haven't seen that happen. I think both the NPR and Vision are not doing that well, and I think they're pretty worried.
Yeah.
My concern is that we don't have a majority of the two, because they're going to do exactly the same thing. They've shown that in the last 6 years.
And your party, Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver, they've come out with a list of endorsements from all the parties.
Yes, we
right?
have.
Yeah.
Yes, we went through all the names and people's records and what they stand for, and we endorsed people that we felt we could work well with, that and we spoke with them, and all of them agreed that our values were something that were very compatible with what they wanted to do. So, yeah, those extra six people we believe are very good people. They're people of integrity, and they're people concerned about serving the public in Vancouver rather than just a development agenda. And we even got one person from the NPA who we believe is like-minded,
right.
And how much shown that in what he's done in the last few years. So we're not about party politics. We just want to change the direction our city's been going in.
And people can get the list at nsvancouver.ca. Terry, thanks for your time today, and good luck with your campaign.
Thank you so much for the interview. I really appreciate it, and thanks for the encouragement.
And you're worth voting for just because you're a Downton Abbey fan, so.
That's true, a fantastic show.
It is, isn't it?
And yeah, it's spectacular. And
yeah.
It's, you know, it's not the big media stuff. It's not on the major channels, but it's one of the best produced series I've seen in a lot of years.
Yeah, that's how we got talking to one another this weekend.
Right.
Yeah. NSVancouver.ca is the website. Terry Martin, NSV, that's the handle on Twitter. Terry Martin is a candidate for Neighborhoods for a Sustainable Vancouver. He's on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.